Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me on the Slice of Construction podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is the co-founder and CEO of Constructible. Emma, how are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm excited to chat with you and talk a little bit about construction and what you're building at Constructible. So let's, I guess, just dive right in. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sounds great. So I am based in Santa Barbara, California. My background and how I met my two co-founders is the three of us worked together for about 10 years at a company called AppFolio. And it's a vertical SaaS company that makes a product for property management and real estate investment. And the three of us just had a great time there. We loved working together. We'd gotten a chance to work on some newer initiatives within the company, kind of the startup within the big company. And that's really what got us super excited. And we said, you know, hey, why not? Let's have our own company if we're going to do that. So that's kind of what inspired us. And we started really thinking, you know, this was about 9 months ago. Obviously, a lot was happening with LLMs. We'd spent time at AppFolio building AI features for a while. This wasn't, you know, something that was totally new to AppFolio, but something we'd started thinking about was, how can this really change how you think about vertical software and how people interact and use vertical software? And so when we started looking at, you know, what are different industries that this could actually really, really apply to? Construction was one that just kind of hit us over the head and we couldn't look away from. We'd spent a lot of time at AppFolio working with people who construction was part of their business just because they managed properties, they were developers, they might have been vertically integrated. And so we knew people in that space, Molly's family's in that space. We started just spending a ton of time with people in that space. And that's how we started on Constructible.
One of my favorite phrases I always tell everyone is the power of just ask, right? Having those conversations and just being a really good listener. People are going to break down that problem for you. You just have to have lots of those conversations, right? And yeah. One of the things I want to ask you, Emma, is this is something we don't often talk about in the as entrepreneurs, but obviously you want to hire people you don't know as well. But let's also talk about the importance of, in the early days, you need to have those people you trust and that you've worked with before. How important is that through your lens of already having that level of trust in those relationships because you've worked with people before?
Oh, I mean, I think it's incredibly important. It's something, you know, John and I, our CTO and other co-founder, had both been managers at AppFolio for a long time. And it was something every time new people came in, we really invested in building. And at a big company that's growing, you have to do that and try to really have consistent teams where you start to just understand what people care about, understand how to work really well together. And I don't think I knew going into a startup, especially with just three of us, we would work really close together. I think I even underestimated how much of our time we are spending together. And so just the fact that there's things like that we've worked on projects together before, we know the ways that people like being communicated with, we know each other's families, you know, we go work from each other's houses and have already spent a ton of time with each other's families and are very comfortable doing that. Just kind of meant we could dive right into the really hard things. And we also had a rhythm of kind of rituals and things that had worked really well for us when we'd worked together at AppFolio too, that we could kind of bring immediately to Constructible and put in place because we'd seen them work well. Of course, some that we knew we didn't want to do, you know, we're a different, very different company, but it definitely got us kicking things off quicker than it would have.
You talked a little bit about kind of already building AI features into the product when you were at AppFolio. You know, the general public, AI has been really the last year that people have like fully heard about it, thanks to really OpenAI, right? But and what ChatGPT is doing. But AI has been around for many years. Can you talk talk with our audience a little bit about how you're leveraging, I know you mentioned a little bit, but how you're leveraging AI for specifically project efficiency? And then if you can provide any real world examples, I know they would love to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big thing that has made LLMs make things much more possible is just the speed at which you can. There's a lot of things that's changed, but one big one is the speed at which you can build these features into your product, and then obviously the quality that you get from AI very quickly without having to train a huge model. For us, AI is really a tool. We always want to make sure that it's something that provides value and it's just a way to get there. It's not the product in and of itself. But what we've focused on is for construction, there's just such a vast amount of information that a problem that we saw over and over again was people didn't know where the answer to something was. And so they'd create these super complex folder hierarchy systems to kind of help guide themselves to where they needed to go. But ultimately, what ChatGPT, I think, has done a great example of showing is the best experience is you can just ask what you want and have it delivered to you. And so, what we said is, what if we can do that with all of your construction documents? You don't need to know whether this answer is going to come from your plans or from your specs, or maybe it's in a soils report or a contract. We can actually gather all of that. And then, what we can use AI for is one, how do we even whittle down which of these documents is likely to have the answer? Because one limitation, obviously, of something like ChatGPT is you can't just hand it 10,000 documents and say, answer this question for me. Maybe you can hand it one, but on a construction project, you're going to have 10,000, 100,000. We talk to companies with millions of documents just for one project. So that's one place that we're really leveraging it is how do we even narrow down on where you want to look for something? And then the second piece is how do we break that down into an answer for you that's really clear and concise without you having to read through all this documentation yourself. So a great example of something someone will ask in our product is, let's say they're about to pour concrete at 2 in the morning and they're the project manager and it's that happens next week. They need to know what are all the requirements we have for when we do night work. For instance, you typically need to put up signs, you're going to need to inform the city, you're going to need to tell the neighbors, and that might come from a few different documents you have. And so we can actually boil that down into a really easy to understand answer with all the information you need, and then link back to all the sources where that answer comes from.
Being in the construction space, you've seen these older softwares that exist. They're not exactly, I guess, they're not really visually appealing, and the product side of you, like, it must make you cringe a little bit, right, when you see some of these outdated softwares. So how important was it to create also a, like, a visually appealing, easy to use platform when you were building Constructible?
It was definitely important to us. Something we'll hear when we meet with project managers, especially maybe earlier career ones, is we just met with someone and he showed us the project management software he was using, and he said, "It looks like a website from the 90s." And I think people really take pride in the work they do and the tools they are given. And so when the rest of your life outside of work has a different kind of like quality and feel with the technology you use, you can really feel that when you get to work and you have to use older software. So that was definitely important to us. I'll say I think the most important thing to us was that we made it really seamless to start using and it didn't require a lot of work from the user. What we've seen with construction products is they're already using so many of them, especially in the field. That's just a challenge in and of itself. And they also require a lot from the user in actually inputting the data. It's either a product where there's forms in it, and that's how information gets in there so that you can actually track things and use the product, or you're uploading documents to use the product. And so something we decided really early on is we don't want to be just another product you have that you have to remember to maintain yourself. We want to be a self-maintaining product. And so that's why we very purposely chose to actually just integrate with everywhere your documents already live. And we invested a lot in being able to automatically pull documents in. So once you've got it set up, you never have to think about it. You can come, you can ask a question, and we're always going to be interacting with the places that you're already doing your work and you're already putting documents and not become a, third or even fourth place you have to remember to do that.
It's a great use of integrations, and you're really helping solve their core problem. So kudos to you and the team for that.
Thanks.
One of the big things in construction projects, as you know, is data traceability. Can you tell me a little bit about how Constructible ensures that information is easily traceable back to its original source? You mentioned it a little bit, right, with if how you're using AI, but I want to make sure you can tell us more as well.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what we invested in the product early on too, is we don't want to just give you an answer and then have you have to wonder, is this correct or not? Or have to, you know, not have backup when you're going to share it with other people on your team. And so what we do is our product today only works with your documents. We don't go out to the internet. We're really, really focused on providing great high quality answers that come from the private information of a construction project that doesn't live anywhere else. And so narrowing that down, one, means we're only ever looking at that information. And then what we always do when we answer a question is we say exactly the source that that question came from. And we even provide, we'll highlight in yellow, here's the section of this document where this answer came from. So you can kind of think of it as a research assistant. We're going to get you to the right place. If the answer is clear, we're even going to provide the answer. But you always have the document there to just, you know, maybe we misinterpreted the way you were asking the question and we got you close, but not quite right. You can always review it. Or maybe we can't find an exact answer to your question. What we can at least do is find things that we think are relevant, provide you with a bunch of sources that at least narrows down this hunt, you know, that you're on to answer a question and give you a starting point where now you can read that and maybe you'll be able to find details or even understand like, hey, this question actually isn't explicitly answered. Here's as close as we can get and we need to still make a decision.
What were, in the early days when you're like, when you were first building the product, what were some of the challenges you faced? It's not the easiest sector that you're in, right? It's, I don't want to call it outdated, but like there are regulations there is, you know, tape you have to get. What were some of the challenges that you faced in developing this platform, you know, from the start?
I think for us, one of the challenges has been, where do we want to focus? And this is really where we're at actually right now, is we've built something that's very broad. It can answer basically anything if we have a document that answers that in a somewhat explicit way. And so it's a bit of a blank slate problem that we've really had to work through as you get to our product, and it almost feels overwhelming of what am I going to do with this product? And so what we've been doing is now spending just a lot of time with our customers and seeing where the product helps them. When we onboard someone new, we can very quickly give them a really, really good set of examples just because, you know, we know about their projects. We know what role they are. We actually start to see a lot of similarities in the needs that people have across different companies, even though the product has a lot of flexibility. But again, it's something really broad. And so for us now, our focus is going to be, okay, where within the construction life cycle, what kind of workflow, what kind of tasks do we want to go even deeper on and be able to actually maybe automate a lot more of the way or become a much more powerful assistant for these types of things. And so one challenge for us has been is we're somewhat overwhelmed with just how many different directions we get excited about going in. You know, the more time we spend shadowing people and watching people in construction, we just see, one, how incredibly hard their job is, how much comes up on a day-to-day that you would never anticipate that could really use, you know, some assistance to help you get through a problem, and how chaotic a construction project is. But again, how many gaps we see in the softwares that are out there, you know, but wanting to make sure we really balance that with not just adding one more solution to your plate and instead starting to think about what's the solution that we actually want to replace and give you something much more modern that can go beyond what you're doing with it today.
You look towards the future. How do you see Constructible evolving? And is there anything specifically upcoming that you can share with us that you're really excited about?
That's a great question. You know, our big vision from the start has been to connect all of the data in a construction project and put it up front into a format that doesn't require the user to do all that work. And that's what we've really seen with the softwares that have been out there is, you know, they're a database specific to construction, but it's the user who takes that information and puts it in a structure that works. And what we really see with AI is while the data is very unstructured, everyone in construction has the same kind of categories of things that they're needing to track. It's change orders, it's RFIs, it's a schedule, it's the trades, it's, you know, contracts. And so that's a big vision of where we want to get to. What we've been really excited about going much deeper on is the plans and the drawings. That's one thing that we think is so central to everything on a project. Pretty much every piece of data that you have for a construction project stems some way off of the plans and can be tied back to the plans. And so that's what we're starting to look at is plans obviously have a lot more on them than text. And what we work with today is text. But what we've gotten really excited about is how can we have a tool that can actually read plans beyond the text and use AI to help answer questions that are going to need to maybe jump between four different sheets of your plans. You know, you start with something that's going to say, hey, go look at this legend. And in this legend, it's going to say, go look at this sheet. And that sheet's going to have a door schedule. And, you know, it's like the scavenger hunt we watch everyone do. So that's one area we're starting to explore, you know, what's technically feasible and gotten really excited about.
My last question for you, Emma, is around what advice you would give, I guess actually two questions, but we'll start with this one. What advice would you give construction companies that are looking to integrate AI and technology into the operations the most effectively?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, something we always try to dig into and I think is good for any company as they're thinking about software is what problem are you solving? You know, for your own business. I think taking a step back and thinking about, hey, as a business, am I trying to make the people on my team more efficient? Am I trying to bring in more revenue? Am I trying to do bigger projects than I've been doing? And then kind of go from there and think about, okay, what are the areas that are going to help me get there the most? I think that's AI or not, that is what helps guide you the most to towards what's going to be the best use of software that's going to have the most impact for you. And then kind of thinking about, okay, what are your goals? Like, what is your vision of where this software gets you so that you can actually confirm that you get there? Because the worst thing you have happen is people spend a lot of time implementing a product and then they just keep it because they've had it, but it didn't actually accomplish what they set out to accomplish. You know, I think with AI, because it has so much flexibility, there's just a ton of opportunity with the different areas that can help with. But again, I'd always boil it down to not we need AI, it's that we need this problem solved. And AI is really just a tool to do that. And so honestly, it shouldn't really matter what your software is using at the end of the day. If it solves that problem for you, it solves that problem for you.
I love it. My last question, this is a cool new segment we're launching. You're going to have 30 seconds to answer questions. Let me know when you want me to start the clock.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Someone that's had a positive influence on you.
So for me, the first person that hired me out of grad school was Mike Greenfield. I worked at a parenting website and he was just the most amazing manager. He gave me so much opportunity to learn new things, but he also really showed me that he was someone at the time who didn't have kids. His co-founder didn't have kids. I thought, this is incredible. This is a website from two guys. It's a parenting website, but if you get to know your customers and your users well enough, you can provide value for them.
Best piece of advice you ever received?
So this is one from a different manager I had at AppFolio. I had the same manager the whole time, Nat Coons, and he told me once, I think I was getting frustrated with something that I probably had to give a presentation on for the fifth time, you know, kind of foundationally, how do we do product management? How do we do agile development? And he gave me a great piece of advice, which was the things that are really, really important to us, you are going to talk about forever. And you think about them every day, but nobody else does. So your job is to repeat them over and over and over again and assume nobody remembers the last time you talked about it.
Last question. One company you would, if you were an investor, one company you would invest in the construction space that's not constructible.
Yeah, so there was a company in our, we were part of the Y Combinator summer batch, and a company called Trade with a Y is a company in the construction space, I think is doing incredible things. They're working on payroll and same day pay for specialty contractors. And that's something that's just so important to that industry in how people get paid, and they're making a big impact in supporting the people that work in that industry.
That's great.